Article 22 first. We're now transitioning from the office of the teaching elder or pastor or minister to the ruling elders. Now I'm reading from the updated version of the church order, which is the official version we have now, but it should read relatively similarly to the original church order of Dort. The elder shall be chosen by the judgment of the consistory and the deacons according to the regulations for that purpose established by the consistory. In pursuance of these regulations, every church shall be at liberty according to its circumstances to give the members an opportunity to direct attention to suitable persons in order that the consistory may thereupon either present to the congregation for election as many elders as are needed, that they may, after they are approved by it, unless any obstacle arise, be installed with public prayers and stipulations, or present a double number to the congregation, and thereupon install the one half chosen by it, in the aforesaid manner, agreeably to the form for this purpose. So there's a few points here. First of all, you'll notice that just like with the calling of a minister, in an established congregation, it is the elders and the deacons with the minister who present the nominees to the congregation for potential office bearers. This article gives the church council two options. One is, and this is typically done in the case where there aren't that many candidates who have the scriptural qualifications for the offices. So the first possibility is to present exactly the number that are needed, and the vote of the congregation, of the members, would then be basically an affirmation or not of those people who are presented a nomination. Or, and this is typically done in congregations where the depth of office-bearing, qualified office-bearing material, if I could put it that way, they would give the double number and the members would vote between names. So, for example, if you needed two elders, the council would present four names, two of which would be chosen by paper ballot, secret ballot, by the members. Now, typically, unlike many other things that are done in Reformed churches, notice is given at least two Lord's Days prior to the vote to give the membership the opportunity to voice objections if any of the nominees are questionable in the members' eyes as far as their qualifications or lifestyle or doctrine, whatever. Typically, notice is not given afterward because the for lack of a better term, the vetting process has already taken place. So once the election has taken place, installation usually follows soon after. And it does make mention at the end of Article 22 of the form used for this purpose. So we do use the form for the installation of elders, and later on the article will talk about the installation of deacons. Now, in the revised version that I read from, it does make mention that opportunity will be given to the members to direct attention to suitable persons. To my understanding, that hasn't been done in any of the HRC churches to date, probably because we haven't had the redaction of 1914 in use very long. We always use the original church order, which doesn't mention that. But the idea behind that is that the members also can make recommendations to the council of men to consider for nomination to office. Any questions on that article? Anything you need clarified? Just going to take a quick look if there is something historical that I should be bringing out here. Okay. Let's move then to Article 23. It's continuing on with the office of elders. The office of elders, in addition to what was said in Article 16, to be their duty in common with the minister of the word, is to take heed that the ministers, together with their fellow elders and the deacons, faithfully discharge their office, and both before and after the Lord's Supper, as time and circumstances may demand, for the edification of the churches, to visit the families of the congregation, in order particularly to comfort and instruct the members, and also to exhort others in respect to the Christian religion. This article, in a sort of a indirect manner, speaks to the whole practice of family visitation, which is a pretty standard staple in Reformed churches, at least in ours. It does mention before and after the Lord's Supper, there is a sensitivity to the fact that often the people of God have struggles prior to the Lord's Supper, sometimes after the Lord's Supper, when self-examination is perhaps more acutely discharged in their lives. They discover things that trouble them. And so it is important, in addition to the other duties that were mentioned previously, that there be visitations among the family for comfort and instruction, not to mention exhorting others who might be remiss. There might be people who actually are believers and give evidences of being believers who, through ignorance or some other difficulty, might not be confessing their faith through partaking of the Lord's Supper or in other ways, and they are to be exhorted and encouraged to do so. Any questions about that?
I just had a comment when I read the commentary book on 1618, 1619. Yeah. There was very much a sense that the churches were parish models and community churches.
Right.
And that the elders met weekly and prayed for the members of the congregation.
Yes.
And how it was long for that, you know, construct in a church to really facilitate this, keeping in mind some of our logistical constraints.
Sure.
Certainly would be the model and the ideal to do these things.
Right. Although I must say, you know, we didn't have it quite so extreme as here, the distances. But we did have office bearers who lived up to an hour from church. And I had to commend the elders that I had worked with previously, in the sense that, you know, despite the fact that they had long commutes to work every day and long hours as corporate managers and things like that, they faithfully discharged this duty week after week, month after month, year after year, and the fruits were very evident, both for myself as pastor, being in touch with the folks, and also the elders, you know, really getting to know the struggles of their people. Sometimes, you know, we can learn a lot from families visiting families. We can learn a lot over lunch, but there's something about the family visitation per se that brings out things that those other venues might not.
Yeah, I think certainly we need to do better in our. I think there's some possibilities in your family visitation letter to bear discussion. I think that there's a necessity of us doing more visitation as elders with the people of God. And I think that there's some ways that we can make this happen better, which we should discuss at the proper time.
Good. Anything else on Article 23? Article 24 is rather straightforward. The nomination, approbation, installation of deacons takes place precisely the same way as elders. So what we read in Article 22 is exactly the procedure we use for deacons as well. Okay, then we'll pause there. Next time, God willing, we'll delve into the office of deacon and discuss those things.